Coming, interviewed. This is At the Races with Steve Beck.
From very rainy, and that's putting it mildly, New Orleans, a very good Friday. Race fans, Sirius 162 XM 207 Sports Zone, 999 if you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website, stevebeck.com. I am telling you, it has come down so hard here. Skies actually in the last 10 minutes have at least somewhat lightened, and they knew. I mean, they said yesterday there was going to be a storm coming through, and they're used to it down here. And this will make for a messy, I'm going to guess, a messy Friday here. And I mean, considering they were off the turf last Friday, and they got the big day tomorrow, I'm going to guess they'll be off today, although they've got the temporary rails up, so perhaps they can get a race in. Who knows? We'll get that to you as soon as we hear anything. And we've got a busy morning as well, of course, between this action here and what's going on in Florence. We'll go back and forth, Kentucky and Louisiana. And there's other action. There won't be any action in New York tomorrow. And I'm wondering if, in fact, I didn't look at any weather maps, but they announced yesterday that they'll take the whole Saturday card, just shift it to Sunday. They expect storms all day tomorrow. If it's anything like what just came through here this morning, then it's probably a good decision. So, although I have to rely on the locals a little bit for advice, and so when I came in, I saw Mikey Diliberto and Frank McGooey, who you just listened to on the replay, and Tom Amos was hanging out. I said to the guy, I said, "What kind of weather is this?" And Amos was looking at the phone and his weather map. And he said, "Don't worry. It'll be out of here faster than Kentucky out of the tournament." And that got a pretty good reaction. Amos said that, not me. If you're I'm sorry. I immediately said, "Well, that's how we're going to open the show." It was too funny not to. it was pretty good. That's all I'll say. I'm not going to listen. My own Colgate Red Raiders, facing Baylor. So who am I? I can't. But of course, we're not a. We're not a national powerhouse. We're just a regional, regional specialty scenario, with the Patriot League. So it was yesterday. I didn't get to watch much, but I saw a couple of minutes here and there. And you know how much you can watch on your phone is fabulous. We'll see on Monday. I'll be here Monday, by the way. I did keep a Monday recap open. So we'll start in California on Tuesday. Good segue and a good opportunity. And we'll talk to Steve Anderson in about an hour and a half, an hour and 40 minutes. Steve will join us in hour two. And I expected that CHRB to vote to give those dates to Pleasanton, and it was an interesting. I heard parts of that too, the meeting yesterday, and it certainly feels like there was backlash to the way Craig Fravel postured with that letter Tuesday, and the the CHRB members said so. I mean, it couldn't have been more direct. So now it's a matter. I mean, there's things that have to be done on CARF's end, the Racing Fair Association. It's going to operate the meet as Golden Racing, Golden State Racing, and when we're out there on Tuesday, we'll start to add to that storyline, and we'll also get reaction. And I know people seem panicked, but we'll see how it unfolds, and we'll get Steve Anderson, who had the benefit after filing yesterday, to get more wider reaction, I imagine, as well. All right, so Steve Anderson on that story. Otherwise, it's almost all handicapping, and that includes some international. Dick Powell was unavailable Wednesday, but that might be just as well. The Hong Kong Derby is tomorrow, and so we'll get that from Dick shortly. All right. Scully, of course, we'll get a little. There wasn't obviously anything Kentucky Derby report related, really, after the quiet week, but there's plenty moving forward. So Scully, and we'll see what's going on at Twin Spires as well. I think Hammer early this morning, although there's a chance that the pushes back a little. We'll see. Marcus Hirsch is going to be here. Marcus had apparently 8 o'clock Central, 9 o'clock Eastern interview to do, and then he said he would come up afterward. It couldn't have been too pleasant. I'm sure he experienced the same thing I did. I had to sneak in through the racing office, and I'm sopping wet. I mean, literally from head to toe. But I did get the equipment in my briefcase in through the racing office, so at least that portion. But then when I went to go park, and crazy. I mean, it was teeming down rain, and so. Marcus, we'll see. We'll see if he locks in for 10 o'clock Eastern. Up at Turfway right now, Kevin Kirstein and Caitlin Free. And they are, I think, roaming the backstretch at Turfway, doing some sound bites and the like. And we'll have them together. We'll have a couple of pairings, actually. But KK and Caitlin later. KK and Caitlin. It sounds like a sitcom. this week on KK and Caitlin. then Steve Anderson is mentioned. I want to get to Rich Yang. I want to thank Rich for all the help in Vegas. And then to round out the show here, we'll close it out, as actually we typically do, with Joe Kristofek and Kevin Kilroy. We'll do a little roundtable. All right. So Powell, Scully, Hammer, Hirsch, Kirstein, Free, Anderson, Eng, Kilroy, and Kristofek. There's the lineup. All right. Let me get to Dick Powell, and we'll get started. I told you about New York postponing, and of course the other big story. The only other story, really, California. and see what else Hammer may have heard or may have come up with. All right, I'm curious. We really haven't talked about it too much, but I mean, if between the Gary Fenton visit at Ocala and the visit with Bill Nader, I think you were out in front of it. Dick Powell's out in front of the Hong Kong Derby. Dick, good morning.
Steve, good morning. It's quite an eventful flight back from Tampa. Plane was landing in that snow squall that the area had Wednesday evening, and he was just about to touch down, and he aborted the landing.
Ooh.
Never had happened. Could not see anything. I mean, the wind was just crazy. So he went back up, circled around. I think he came in another direction, but you couldn't see the ground. So you couldn't see where he was. And then he said, we're going to try it one more time. Otherwise, we're going to Bradley. So he got it down on the ground. It was windy and wow. So survived that. The rest is downhill.
Yeesh. That's a little scary.
Yes. Well, when we landed, everyone clapped and cheered. It was a lot of nervous people, me included. And I'm sitting in the exit row, so I'm like, well, this is great. If the air goes off, I'm in great shape.
I frequently sit the exit row, especially the seat that's got the, you know, no seat in front of it, for the leg room and such. And they ask you for that verbal confirmation. Are you able to assist? Yes. Then you think twice about that. No, I wouldn't mind. I could pitch in. I think I'm fairly, you know, level headed and in a crisis. I think that's easy to say, right?
Yeah, we all turn into Costanza, escaping the kitchen and the fire and knocking the old lady out of the way, the kids. So, you don't know. Until it happens, you don't know.
let's keep the potential for that to a minimum, but it's funny, Tina. It's funny you say that because about the snow squall, because Tina sent me, or she called me, I think while it was squalling, and said, "Look at this! Look what's going on!"
So, yeah, it was wild.
Well, glad you're home. And how did things go for the wife? You had a little bit of a.
It was good.
Okay,
she'll be back home in 2 weeks. So, went down there for a week. Beautiful. The weather was unbelievable. So now I get back in 20 degrees, wind chill 10, you know. Well, okay.
Well, this is, we have to take that when we live where we live. Although I haven't been home in a month, so I can't discuss that. I'm not the right person. I escaped it. Dick, we couldn't talk obviously Wednesday, but Hong Kong Derby time, and let's catch it up.
Well, it was interesting because we knew who was going to run on Wednesday, but they didn't draw the race till Thursday, and the draw really looks like it's going to have a big effect on the race. Now that said, last year's winner, Voyage Bubble, came from post 14 and literally went last to first. So it can be done, but the two highest rated horses, now they all carry 126 pounds, but Galaxy Patch, who's coming off a brilliant second behind California Spangle, going 7 furlongs, he draws post 14, and Helios Express, the winner of the first two legs of the four-year-old series, he draws post 13. So that's going to make some interesting tactics. We'll see how the race unfolds. Now, 2,000 meters of shot in. They start kind of in front of the grandstand. They hit the finish line, and it's a two-turn race, not the longest run into the first turn. Now, it's a big, wide, sweeping turn, but in a 14-horse field, if you're stuck outside, You either go back or you go forward. You can't just stay there. You just can't race five wide the whole trip. So we'll see what the jock, Hugh Bowman, on Helios Express. He has some pace, but I don't know what Hugh's going to do. And it'll just be fascinating just to watch the tactics evolve. The now horse right now, and I'm afraid this one might go off as the favorite, is number 7, Massive Sovereign. Zach Purton rides. Drew Post 10 shouldn't be a problem. His Hong Kong debut was March 3rd, going today's distance. So he's already a winner at 2,000 meters, and he could not have been any more impressive. He just romped, pulling away, won easily. Now he's back into the series, and he's catching some maybe tired horses, number one, and maybe not the greatest group of four-year-olds that have been assembled this year, especially going long. Massive Sovereign used to race in Europe under the name of Broadhurst. He was trained by Aidan O'Brien. He's by No Nay Never. He's actually bred in the United States. His win in a handicap in Europe was very good before he shipped. So he had two wins over there and looked like a progressive type horse. Now he's over here. He's a gelding. And I think you're going to look at 2-3 years of this horse making an impact on the distance races. I think there's so much chatter about him that after the draw and seeing where some of these contenders drew, including number 5, Ensued, who Ryan Moore is in to ride, but Ensued drew post 12. Now, he does have pace, and he does have 3 races at the distance already over at Hong Kong. So he's a proven 2,000-meter horse. I think he can overcome that pole, especially with Ryan Moore. But once again, he, like him and the other good ones, they all drew outside. So I think Massive Sovereign is going to be the one to beat. My theory is he's going to bet pretty good. But that said, I'm going to pick him number 7, Massive Sovereign on top. I'm going to throw out Helios Express. He was great in the first 2 legs, but he's starting to show signs. He had a little bet issue this week that the club did a great job informing everyone. Galaxy Patch is an awesome horse, but he's jumping from 7 furlongs to 10 furlongs. Not saying he can't do it, but he's doing it on short turnaround, also 2-week rest. So he's going to try to beat Conquistador Cielo today. Met Mile to Belmont. He's going to go from a 7-furlong Group 1 to the Hong Kong Derby and do it from post 14. I'm against that. So I'm going to go 7, Massive Sovereign. I'm going to throw in the 5, Ensued, another poorly drawn horse. And number 6, Cheng Cheng Glory, who's another United States bred. He's by More Spirit. I think he might be an Iowa bred. I think I read that during the week. And he has lots of pace. I think he can stay out of trouble, see how long he can last. He almost won the classic, the 1,800-meter second leg of the series last time out. So, number 7, Massive Sovereign, and underneath we're going to use 5 and 6. Oh, no, one more point, Steve.
Yeah.
On the page. Number 10, unbelievable. He's making his third start in Hong Kong. He had a couple of wins over in Ireland. I'm looking at his pedigree. I'm like, what is this interesting? He's by Justify out of Together Forever. I'm like, City of Troy is the 2-year-old champion male in Europe, who Aiden said is going to run the 2,000 guineas, the Epsom Derby, and if all goes well, he will run in the Travis Stakes
right
this summer. So here's his full brother, unbelievable, a 4-year-old colt. He was beaten 4 lengths in his last start in the Classic. You got to figure he's going to improve off that. Certainly has the pedigree. Unbelievable shows up here, City of Troy's older brother.
Excellent. Hong Kong Derby.
And it's fun because we got Ryan Moore in, we got William Buick, we got Zach Byrne, Hugh Bowman, the local riders, James McDonald from Australia is up. So really good mix of riders, and it's a big purse. It's $26 million Hong Kong dollars, which is over $3 million US, and It's a fun race. It's a historical race over there. It's taken very seriously. But the horses are brought up to this differently. What you read about the trainers is they're looking for their horses to relax. even if it's a sprint, they're not trying to train up to a mile and a quarter. They're looking to get their horses to relax no matter what the distance so that they can then get the mile and a quarter. So we'll see how well that works out. I think Helios Express has rated very nicely in his first two starts. I don't know if he can do it again going longer, but he does have Hugh Bowman, John Size as his trainer. But I just think Massive Sovereign is the talking horse, and I think he's going to get that. But if I can get 3-4 to 1 on him, I'd be more than happy.
Well, a couple of big international events this week, next week, of course, we got Dubai, and quite a bit, North American interest, to say the least. And you'll handle that for us.
Yes, definitely. Those races are really strong, and the Japanese contingent is bigger than ever because they already had a bunch of horses go in. And then a lot of the horses that raced on Saudi Cup night shipped over. So we're going to see lots of Japanese and lots of American participation, including Senior Buscador in the Dubai World Cup. And Saudi Crown is going to turn back to a mile and run the Gaddafi Mile for Brad Cox.
We've also got Casa Creed in the Alquaz.
Yes.
And rooting for Lee. And got the UAE Derby, of course, and all eyes on Forever Young. So, plenty.
And lots of Hong Kong participation next Saturday in Dubai.
All right.
A lot of good horses are going over, and we'll see how they can compete. Because I was there when Vengeance of Rain won the Shima Classic, and Diva Pataka won 1 year. So the Hong Kong horses have done well there. They look like they have a strong contingent, but they're up against a pretty tough company from, I mean, around the world, Japan, America, Europe. It's going to be a terrific day of racing, and hopefully, I know it's been raining there, hopefully the weather will cooperate.
Well, actually, just looking outside, the weather's cooperating here. I see blue sky moving in as it happens. So Amos was right. Amos had this doped out correctly. I'm also looking down at my list. Golden Shaheen, I forgot Sibelius again, and Nakatomi as well. So quite a bit to look forward to. All right, I will leave that in your hands.
Yeah, yeah. It'll be good.
All right. When do they draw when? They usually draw Monday night or Tuesday?
No, they do it later, and usually they don't draw the World Cup till Wednesday evening. They make it an event. So
yeah, a whole big thing.
I'm not sure when all the cards will be
all right. Well,
and one thing with Dubai, I'm sure I'll mention it Wednesday. It's an unusual racetrack that you don't mind being outside. You have to get away from that kickback. If it's dry, the kickback is lethal. And a rider sits 3 wide the whole trip, like Animal Kingdom did with Joel. That's the perfect ride. Curling with Robbie Alvarado. Robbie sat 4 wide the whole trip. Stayed out of it. You don't want to draw inside behind horses. That's not where you want to be. So, and that's true of all the dirt races. So as you're doing your preliminary work, keep that in mind.
Dick, I appreciate it. I'll talk to you from California next week.
Okay, Steve, be good.
Dick Powell, everybody, and Hong Kong Derby, HKJC. Going to pull Scully in and start to get some opinions, and I'm anxious. I got to tell you, I got up early, and I did, because I hadn't done the Turfway work. I literally have got 5 horses at the top of each race. That's the best I could do in the Turfway races. And I guess, you know, I guess we'll make decisions ultimately based on price. But I was writing up the cards this morning, and I got most of Fairgrounds done. That maiden fourth race I here at Fairgrounds, I'm kind of struggling with. James, good morning.
Morning, Steve.
I just was riffing that I'm anxious for some Turfway opinions. We'll hear from you. We'll hear from KK and from Caitlin. And I could not drill down better than five horses in most of those stakes. I mean, maybe there's a horse or two that I like a little bit more than others, but boy, oh boy, it's one of the reasons. Yeah. One of the reasons you get the prices you get at Turfway.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And you know, I mean, you can have like these stakes days where you can have some favorites win, but even, you know, I mean, looking at these cards, you got an opportunity for exacta and trifecta, big payouts, even if, you know, you get short price winners, because these races are well matched. And, you know, you take a look at the Jeff Ruby Stakes, you got 12 horses in there, and none of them ran at Turfway last time. They're shipping in from all over the country. And, yeah, so it's a challenging race.
Well, we're going to dive in undoubtedly, but let's first get a handle on all the different opportunities for players on Twin Spires.
Yes. We have got this weekend, you know, we've been doing a profit boost for select tracks. You know, each weekend there's going to be a Kentucky Derby, that there's been a Kentucky Derby qualifier. We've been doing a 15% boost on all win exactas, or on win exacta, trifectas, and superfecta wagers. And we're going to do that for all the races at Fairgrounds and Turfway on Saturday. So make sure you go to the offers page, opt in for that profit boost, read the details for that. We also got, we've got a bunch of promotions going on surrounding Turfway and Fairgrounds this weekend. Got the Turfway Park 15% win bonus. We have a profit boost, or we have a trifecta profit boost at various tracks. And on the $5,000 we're giving away on the Bayou Bluegrass, it's a hit it and split it promotion on the Bayou Bluegrass Pick Five, which is a dollar minimum, 15% takeout, the five races from Turfway and Santa Anita. Turfway and Fairgrounds. If you hit it, you're going to get your share of a $5,000 bonus. So yeah, check out those. We've got a profit boost going on today, a power hour where you can get 15% on any wagers at tracks like from 4 to 5 p.m. this afternoon on Friday, and lots more. So go to the offer page at twinspires.com. Make sure you opt in, and some opportunity. We'll be giving away a lot of free money this weekend.
Very cool. I'm kind of thumbing through it. The Bayou Bluegrass, I'm anxious to hear your thoughts on this and building a ticket, because of course the dollar makes it a little bit harder, and you know, that's sort of that's part of the appeal, frankly. But you're gonna have to be clever, I think. Before we dive into action, what did you punch on Sunday in the two future wagers?
Well, I did make a wager on Intricate at 12-1. I just think, you know, I'm looking forward to run well tomorrow and be much shorter odds on Oaks Day. And, you know, I thought that was a fair price on her. In the Derby, I jumped on Resilience. You know, I was, he had been like, his work pattern had been a little bit in and out for Mott, but he worked him Sunday morning. He worked him last Sunday, five furlongs. He worked him this, two Sundays ago, five furlongs. He worked him last Sunday, five furlongs. So that horse looks like he's on track for, you know, one of these final preps coming up. I thought that was a good fourth place effort in the Risen Star from Resilience. You know, he's coming off a 3.5 lift maiden win, going two turns at Gulfstream. And John Velasquez got off him, and I put some quotes in a piece where I talked about playing him. And he was just real bullish on him. He was like, this horse can get the distance. He's good enough. He just has to get racing. You know, he was like, he got a little bit lost in the stretch, so it was hard to pass horses, but I always had horse left, and he's only going to get better off of this. So I thought they'd slip up to 128-1 on a horse coming off a fourth in the Risen Star, which has been the best prep race this year. That was a fair price. So I did make a wager on him.
I like that. And, you know, that's, again, that's always what you're looking for. You want, you know, what appears to be a price that's completely out of line with, you know, the potential for a horse to, you know, to end up. You know, the Oaks is one of my favorites, and maybe my favorite. And I actually, I punched two, and strictly, you know, these are kind of sheet plays, essentially. You know, just looking at the third draft package from last week, and my main squeeze, she ended up at 32-1, which when I put the bet in, because I didn't want to forget it, she was like 48-1, which was much more in line with my thinking. But she ended up at 32-1. And then I found a horse that I really hadn't, you know, had much interest in until I saw her price. And that was Phil Bauer with Helena's Forte. And unfortunately, she got pounded late. When I bet her, I think she was 74-1. And she ended up by Sunday night, and I didn't really check until like 9 o'clock Sunday. She was down because we were, you know, completely immersed in the NHC, and she got bet to 29-1, which surprised me. I mean, I thought I had maybe, you know, stumbled on a gem, but. If she stretches out, I mean, she's fast right now, and if the distance works for her, she's a Mattoli, so you know, intermediate distance, but and you know, sprinty-ish, and then out of a Yes It's True mare. So I mean, there isn't obvious staying power. But I did write, I did send a text to Phil. I said, you know, what's wrong with you on the Oaks Trail? And he said he thinks she'll stretch out all right. So Helena's Forte and my main squeeze, she surprised me too. Not necessarily a horse that,
So when she's going to let the Gazelle, you reckon, from Anchor?
I think so. Yeah. Yeah, and Helena's Forte is trying the Ashland.
All right.
So that's
that could be a good race. I mean, it's just FYI and Candy both under consideration for the Ashland.
Apparently,
I think they might. No,
Bluegrass Weekend, the Bluegrass Ashland are going to be heavyweight bouts, no doubt. No doubt.
Yep.
All right. Just wanted to see. I mean, otherwise on the Derby front, no real surprises on that side of the ledger. 7-1 on Sierra Leone and 12-1 on Timberlake. 9-1 on Fierceness. Forever Young, 12-1. 13-1 on Dornick. Deterministic seems to be a mojo horse. 16-1. Conquest Warrior, Shuggy, 16-1. And there's quite a few. Obviously, there's a number of horses that are running tomorrow that people will get an instant read on where they stand with their future wager punch. All right.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where Dornick goes next. I mean, it looks like Fierceness going to Florida Derby. You can sort of see where those horses are separating: Timberlake to the Arkansas Derby, Sierra Leone to the Bluegrass. I thought it was interesting to listen to Dick Powell's comments about the kickback and about keeping horses wide there at Maidan, because that's really the question a little bit with Forever Young. I mean, the jock kept him so wide last time. Can he take kickback in a 20 horse field? So I'll be interested to see where he draws next weekend, because he was deliberately ridden to avoid any dirt in his face last time. And, you know, I'm just dubious of those tactics moving forward, but I thought 12-1 was too short on him. But the real bummer was if you bet Sierra Leone a month ago and then he's 7-1 and he sat on your money for a month and his price went up. So It's interesting because Sierra Leone and Forever Young are both first cousins. Their dams are half sisters, and we got a horse in the Ruby today or tomorrow, Northern Flame, that his dam's a half sister to the dams of Forever Young and Sierra Leone as well. So all three of those horses are closely related. Northern Flame, he's still got some work to do to prove it, but the other two are looking pretty good for the Derby.
Well, darling, my darling. In fact, I got a note from our friend Sally Ellen Hurst at Country Life, and she was talking about Northern Flame. This has come up repeatedly.
I'm going to pick him.
You are, huh?
I'll start this. Let me just start early on the card. I'll work my way back and do Fairgrounds last. I did want to mention in race number four, this is a main special weight before I get to the stakes. Now, I did not like seeing this jock switch to a jock that's over 32, but this number 7, Brody, caught my eye, Steve, with this improved speed he showed last time. I think he has the potential to be a little overlooked in this spot coming back, be the third or fourth, this choice maybe, because, you're going to get some horses, I think, take some action. Definitely the yellow card at Troubles Rising are going to probably be, Troubles Roaring are going to be the two favorites. But he just didn't show much in his first three starts, but he got out last time on a fast pace, dueled, hung in there really well. And that was just a massively improved effort, second time with blinkers. And, I'm intrigued by him on the front end with this jockey who I don't know, Gabriel Lagoons.
This is a maiden group that features, you mentioned Yellow Card, the Michael W. McCarthy. There's Asmussen coming back with Troubles Roaring, the World of Trouble. That's been knocking on the door, has been beating a head and a nose, going to be a short price. So,
oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's got, even his other, he's got another firster in there, Asmussen does, that, I thought looked pretty decent. I think he does. Oh, no, maybe that's a different race. Well, never mind. here I go again with the, that is a pretty nice race. I mean, like all these races on Saturday, you've got a full field in there, and you're going to have an opportunity, at least for the vertical exotics, perhaps to catch some odds in there. I'm going to start then with, as far as the stakes go, I'm going to start with race number 7. And really something, the amount of pace in here, obviously Valentine Candy is a horse to beat, and he'll be stalking just off the speed. But I'm going to give the edge to number 8, Vote No. I really liked his effort two starts back off of a real wicked pace in that Turfway preview. That Leonidas came up with a short feel with no pace last time. He was taken out of his best tactics, and it was going a mile. I like to cut back to 6 furlongs. I loved his win two starts back at Turfway. And if anybody's going to beat this Valentine's Candy, I think it's going to be Vote No. I'm going to look for a big finish from him with Corrales and have a minor upset in the Animal Kingdom.
The horse that I'm going to project, and I don't want to eat the 5-2 price, but Shards comes back in this spot for Kelsey Danner, and if he comes back with any natural development from where he left, he's the horse to beat to me. I mean, Valentine Candy. Don't we have to get an answer on synthetic with him?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, no doubt about it. I thought this was sort of an odd placement because he'd be angling, for strictly dirt races off of 3 consecutive stakes wins at Oaklawn, but they're going to give him a shot in there, and he's going to get bet hard. I mean, Frankie Dettori is on a bunch of favorites, and his horses are going to take money, the entire card. I mean, Shards, I would have liked to have seen a comeback effort from him. I mean, quite frankly, I mean, you're getting to like late March, and you're coming back from the Breeders' Cup, and, I just have some, he's just broke his lone win was his maiden win where he just got out there in the stretch all by himself. And, he might be good enough off the shelf, but I'm going to be playing against him with number 8, Vote No.
All right. I went 10-7-8-6 in here. I thought let's go Mark I took a little interest. That gets us to the Rush Away, and yeah, this is a crazy race.
Yeah, this is a race for horses that couldn't get into the Jeff Ruby, or at least a bunch of them, it looks like. I thought that Tennessee, had a little bit of a workmanlike maiden win. I mean, he was game to get the victory two starts back, beat a nice horse, Bold at One Night, who came back and won next out convincingly. But I thought he took a big step forward last time for Brad Cox. I liked that allowance win. That Evening News, I thought, was brilliant last Saturday, coming back and winning. And I'm going to give him the edge. I mean, he's going to have his work cut out against Neat, and even Blue Eyed George is a definite contender for Michael McCarthy. But I'm going to go with the Tennessee. He's slight morning line favorite, but he's my top pick in the Rush Away.
Blue Eyed George is running down here in the Louisiana bred race.
Oh, yes. Okay. Well, then I won't. He won't be. Gosh, Jose Ortiz lost two mounts on the card that were in stakes races. He's riding. I thought that was fascinating. He's going to ride a Churchill. We talk about adding another, because Lee Saez has been riding the summer and fall. He's ridden the June and May and June the last couple of years, and to have Jose Ortiz joining that jockey colony will make it even better. This summer, Churchill. All right, so yeah, I'm on Tennessee and race in the Animal Kingdom. Didn't really have an opinion in the Latonia, Kentucky Cup Classic. That's race number 10, going a mile and an eighth. And to me, I look at number one Surly Famous and number three Wolfie's Dynagos, and even number 12 Fantastic Again, who are basically the three morning line choices. And I don't think a mile and an eighth is the best distance for any of them. And I really like number two Verstappen coming back in this spot. He ran, last year he was basically a maiden winner, last winter at Turfway. He wins the non-winners of one other than allowance, and non-winners of two other than allowance. And then he ran second in the Kentucky Cup Classic. And now he comes back 12 months later, and he's just a much better horse than he was last winter. He won the grade two Elkhorn on turf. He's placed in four of his last five outings, all stakes, most of them graded stakes. And, he's got the positional speed to, sit mid pack and just get, I think, a perfect trip with Declan Cannon. So, I look for him to run well off the freshening in the Kentucky Cup Classic for Brendan Walsh.
This is a crazy race, and there's a lot to digest in this group. And I'm a Verstappen fan.
Oh, he's got another deep race. Yeah, no doubt about it. And I was, quite frankly, I'm looking at a little bit. I liked a little bit of these turf horses. I took a look at, as well as him, I took a look at Celeste and, Atone and even Harlan Estate. I give some horses in there a chance against these favorites. I definitely will use some others. I'll be looking to play Verstappen straight. And then I might miss in a couple others in my multi-race sequence.
The problem with the turf horses in here, you talk about distance preference, and most of them like it longer, including Cellist and Verstappen. The thing that I'm intrigued, or at least interested in seeing, is where the money flows. Surely Furious has a real chance. If he can win this, he's the horse of the meet. After winning the Forego and the Dust Commander, and Troy Wismer has been handling Surly Furious for his father, and I'm a big fan of this horse and of the Wismers in general. He's going to save all the ground. I just don't want 7-2.
He used to be a sprinter, and this will be his first start at a mile and an eighth. But he showed to me last time he can get two turns. So,
Glenn, anybody that's
a horse shows, once a horse shows that they can do a different dimension that they hadn't done before, I don't have any problem, coming back with them. So, yeah, that was a big effort last time in the Dust Commander, no doubt about it.
After he won the Presque Mile, we talked with Glenn Wismer about stretching him out, and he said this horse will do anything that he's asked. and he said there's no trip that is out of his that's out of his realm. So I just don't want 7-2 per se. And Jonathan Thomas, it should be acknowledged, not that Tom Albertrani didn't do a good job, but Wolfie's Dynaghost, has been, as he's continued to mature, has been just terrific. This is a fun race.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. Turning to the Bourbon at Oaks, going a mile and a 16th for these fillies. I do think this race is going to have a solid pace. I mean, I think Alpine Princess, I mean, she'll be up there close, but it looks like it could be Maxi Superfly and this pink polka dots that are perhaps like up there pushing it. It's hard for me to totally like discount Alpine Princess. She's got to take to the synthetic track and you're going to take a short price on her. I wound up giving the edge to Band of Gold. I really liked the fact that, her best race, her fastest race came on a sloppy track. I think that could bode well. You know, she's out of a Cairo Prince mare, and Cairo Prince does well with his runners on synthetic tracks. And I just think she's going to get a good setup with a lot of speed in there, Band of Gold. So I'm going to give her a slight edge, but I do respect, the morning line favorite, Alpine Princess.
Alpine Princess, both of the McPeaks, Winnable and Band of Gold. Maxi Superfly, is going to have to do it, I guess, on the front end. But like you mentioned, Pink Polka Dots is going to be there to keep her company. Trial. Yeah. Tommy Drury has got the Dill Schneider Hancock Run Happy Filly Trial. And let me go back. What are we looking at? 10-1. And I thought Trial was far from impossible. And Clement shows up with You Know Nothing for Shell Evans, 12-1. This is the race probably that really contributes to how challenging the Bayou Bluegrass Pick 5 is going to be.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you really, like Alpine Princess, she's classic Empire, Band of Gold, she's person. You're basically looking at these runners and they're coming off of graded stakes races on dirt and trying to gauge whether they'll take to the all-weather track.
Right.
So, but that's definitely some up-and-coming types potentially in that Bourbonnet Oaks that you referenced there at the end. Exciting race, I think. And I was glad to see Alpine Princess opt for that spot because I thought she'd be up against it in the race, the Fairgrounds Oaks. So she definitely had some intrigue, I think. Turning to the Jeff Ruby Stakes, race number 12. I don't trust Endlessly at short odds, Steve. I'm a little bit dubious of the company he was facing out there. The one race I think he ran in against like quality stakes rivals was the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf, where he was empty at the top of the stretch. And, if he can rally from way off the pace and win, more power to him, but I'm not going to play him at all. I took a long look at Seize the Gray off of a nice win last out. I think this Otello is going to be a turf horse potentially and could make the move to synthetics smoothly. Obviously Noted, I thought, was worth at least a little bit of a look. But ultimately, I landed on number 6, Northern Flame. And I don't think Lucky Jeremy and some of these other horses in here are that fast from the gate. And I think this Northern Flame, he led wire-to-wire break in his maiden last year at Churchill Downs. He ran 4th and 5th in his first 2 stakes starts. But I think in his last 2 starts, he has really shown improved gate speed for McPeak. He really took it to him 2 starts back in an allowance that had a bunch of speed in it. And he was breaking from the rail. And he just took it to him that day and beat a pretty decent field. And then last time in that Rebel, I know it says 2nd by half length at the start there, but he flat out breaks on top and concedes the lead to Carbone. And Carbone's showing the way by, half length down the backstretch. And Julien Le Perroux is absolutely taking the biggest hold you'll ever see, because I think Northern Flame could have put him away at any time on the lead. I think his speed has improved significantly. Like I said, he's bred to excel, I think, on turf and synthetics. Flame Away led. He's by Flame Away. He led all first-year sires last year with 4 stakes winners. 2 of those stakes winners came on synthetics. His offspring were hitting at a better than 50% rate in the money on synthetics entering this year. So he's already had a bunch of horses run well at Gulfstream and other tracks on their Tapeta services. And, you know, it's just a bunch of classy. I mean, this is the female family of Sierra Leone. And Forever Young. I look for him to take to the synthetic, break on top, and lead wire to wire Northern Flame and the Jeff Ruby Stakes.
Interesting. All right. I'm all over the place here. And
now I will use those 3 I mentioned, you know, in some multi-race sequences, but I'll be betting Northern Flame. And I think I'll get that 5-1 price, Steve, off of that 3rd in the Rebel.
I won't argue that.
The more I look at the Rebel, the more I like that race. I like I think Common Defense is intriguing in the Louisiana Derby, and you know, I'm tabbing Flame Away or Northern Flame and the Jeff Ruby. I turn into Fairground, Steve.
Yep.
I'll start with the stakes action and with the Tom Benson Memorial, race number 8. You got 2 horses. You got a Chad Brown horse shipping in, and you've got this Ova who gets Irad on the far outside. I think, you know, those horses could take some money in this Tom Benson. And I like number 9, Spirit and Glory, coming right back for Robert Falcone and Flavian Pratt. I really like that effort last time by her. I think she's moving forward at the right time. And I wouldn't be surprised to see her go on off of this race and run really well at Churchill Downs in like a race like the Distaff Turf Mile. So I'm bullish on number 9, Spirit and Glory, in the Tom Benson Memorial.
Frank Magui gave a nice push yesterday.
And then in the New Orleans Classic, that race kicks off the Bayou Bluegrass, the New Orleans Classic does. You know, you got 10 horses in this race. I know Touch Upon a Star is cross-entered to the Star Guitar, maybe some other race, but I mean, I've never heard of a morning line favorite in a Grade 2 stakes race scratching out of that for some lesser race. I'd be surprised I expect him to run in this, and I expect him to run well. I thought his effort in that Delta Mile 3 starts back, where that race had a ton of speed. That 5-star general is a need-to-lead type through and through. He came back and won the Tenacious Stakes off of that Delta Mile by 3 lengths, wire to wire. He ran 4th in a Grade 3 last out. That horse was in form when he ran into Touch Upon a Star on November 3rd. And Touch Upon a Star beat him, you know, by about a length more than a length because he was 3rd. And then he came back in his next start and beat Tumba Rumba, who came back and won the Grade 3 Fred Hooper and ran a nose second in the Grade 2 Gulfstream Mile. So he's been facing some nice stakes winning type horses in his recent races. And I just think he's going to be up close from the start. And I just think he's going to run a big race on the front end. And if anything, for any reason, he just gets the dueling and it takes it out of him and best actor, potentially. The horse I'd also use is number 7, Super Corinto. I'm a little intrigued by this 5-year-old coming back from Nacho Correas. I really like the way he ran, when he came back off of a layoff, a little more than a year ago and about 18 months ago. And, you know, he's coming back off of that. I just think he could. I think this race is either going to, if Touch Upon a Star doesn't run a big race on the front end and beat him, I think it's going to set up, you know, for a stalker type. I don't trust Red Route 1 and Money Supply from off the pace. If they beat me, they beat me. But I'm going to play 3 and 7 in all my multi-race bets.
Yeah, it's funny. On the first pass, I wasn't that enamored with Super Corinto, and then the more I looked, I said, you know what, I got to at least I'd at least use them underneath. So I include it as well. I respect Correas too much to just be dismissive.
Yeah. And that takes us to the Muniz Memorial Classic. Steve, one of my favorite things is betting against horses at short odds off of these, like, eye-catching, huge belated late runs from off the pace to be, like, second or third. I mean, they don't win, you know, but they're flying late, and off of that performance, you have, like, these, huge expectations next time, and often leads to underlay prices. Number 13, I'm Very Busy, has run second or third in four of his eight career starts. The fact that he ran second last time didn't surprise me at all. He, his lone win since August of 2022 was an entry level allowance at Aqueduct last October, and now he's drawn a terrible post as well in this race. And to me, I mean, I'm expecting him to go off about 9-5. I couldn't imagine a horse that has like more of a buzz in a sense, like coming in for a turf race, a stakes turf race at Fairgrounds in this I'm Very Busy. I think he's going to open up at like, 7-8-5, might drift up a few pegs, but I think he's vulnerable. I think that Web Slinger is a better horse than him right now. I really liked his next second in the Hollywood Derby, two starts back. I think that number two, Strong Quality, has a chance to get a dream trip on the front end, and I like the way Beatbox finished last time for Cherie DeBeau. So I am playing against I'm Very Busy with both hands. I am 100% not going to have that horse on any ticket in terms of the top spot, and I got it 3-2-4 in the Muniz Memorial Classic.
Yeah, I think that's the prudent thing to do is to expect him underneath. I picked him third. I can tell you that yesterday, Frank kind of turned my head on Web Slinger, who I certainly respected. I wanted to pick Gigante at 10-1, but Web Slinger went back and looked at that trip, and I get it. Web Slinger and Gigante for me. I'll tell you the horse that I warmed up to this morning when I was typing up the card. Irish Aces. I would take a long look at this Brendan Walsh. Absolutely going in the right direction and has more upside yet. Is a horse that basically since late last summer, breaking the maiden in Indy, has just taken one forward step after another. And he showed, actually, last summer, he showed tactical speed, and I like Brian Hernandez Jr., who's about as good a positional rider as there is, ends up taking the call here, and completely.
Yeah, that's a treat.
Yeah, right.
You don't see Brian Hernandez on too many Brendan Walsh horses. Yeah, that's.
I'm very interested. 15-1 is the right price to find out. I can't argue with you about Beatbox and Strong Quality. You know where he's going to be, and he certainly drew well for that that front end trip. This is a terrific. Just a terrific addition to this. A lot of fun, this Muniz.
Yeah, absolutely. And then in the Fairgrounds Oaks, I like Intricate to win. Yeah. I'm a little bit concerned. I look at Our Pretty Woman, and I do think, she's going to have to step it up, but I think she's got the potential for a good trip on the lead with Rosario. So, I'm a little bit intrigued by her. I even took a look at this Accommodate Eva. I know she didn't run well against Open Company 2 back, but she's more of like a stalker type, and she was just on the lead in that race, and she came back last time with a really fast race. I mean, looked good in that state bred race. So, you know, second time coming back to this level. I mean, they've always thought that this Louisiana break could run, obviously. I mean, that she breaks her maiden at Keeneland. They run her in the juvenile fillies, and I just liked her last effort. So she's one I would, like, look at maybe as a potential upset candidate, but I'm pretty much, you know, I like Intricate, and I wouldn't be surprised to see Tarifa run well also. You know, yeah. I respect Tarifa's chances, and I did look at the one horse I'm not going to take a chance on, and is Vivi's Dream. I mean, you talk about a horse that has burned backers royally. At least she was 3-1 last time, but she had been favored in her first 5 starts, and she, you know, she's going to have to run a good race at 2 turns before I ever put any money behind her. So, yeah, I'm going to give the edge to Intricate, but I definitely respect Tarifa. I took a look at Our Pretty Woman because of her speed, and I think that Accommodate Eva is sneaky for at least, like, the vertical exotics.
Well, she's also not 100% to run. She may, you know, it's a game-time decision. Is how it was put to us yesterday. Where she's gonna?
Yeah,
when Dallas.
Yeah, well, that would make more sense scratching her out than Touch Upon right. A Star, who's the money line favorite. You know, she's 30-1. So, yeah, or 20-1. Sorry. That takes us to Louisiana Derby, the $1 million TwinSpires.com Grade 2 Louisiana Derby, and I look at this race and, like, in Aquarium. You know, he's been racing up close in both starts, but he's just not that quick from the starting gate to me. And I don't think Next Level is that sharp. You know, he'd shown speed earlier. I can't envision Track Phantom not breaking on top from post 12 and be showing the way on like a measured control lead. I just think he's got the, I mean, I know it's not, you know, he's the favorite, and, you know, you know, he's still got – everybody's looking at him, like, through the lens of, like, hey, is he a Derby, a mile and a quarter type? But I don't think it matters in this race. I just think he's going to be able to control the pace, and if he's, you know, good enough, he's just going to lead every step of the way with Joel Rosario. The horses that I would use as backups – are, I think Hall of Fame is going to be more prominent than he was last time. I didn't think he got the right trip at his first start versus Winners. He likes to race, I think, a little bit up closer, and he could sit up there, you know, potentially saving ground right behind the pace setter. And I like Common Defense's runner-up effort last time in the Rebel, and I think he has a chance to get a little bit overlooked from a parimutuel sense. So, you know, I may play 12 over 2 at 10 and straight exactas, and then maybe use the Hall of Fame and Common Defense as, like, multi-race, like, savers.
All right. There's a lot of options. I'm definitely using Antiquarian from a price standpoint. I can't resist.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I thought that, you know, I thought Cornishman, you know, really ran well in his comeback last Saturday. So, you know, he's that was a nice win last time by Antiquarium. And it didn't come back that fast, but he looked the part doing it.
What else?
And that's, you know, I mean, as far as, like, you know, to me, it's like with Honor Marie and Catching Freedom. I mean, I think they both have a potential to get a little overbet from a win betting perspective. And that was sort of like my take on them. I mean, I won't be surprised to see them hit the board again. But, you know, both those horses to me have got to prove themselves at this level. I got a last second Friday push, if you're ready for it, at Aqueduct.
Well, we're ready. The question is, Can we
going to run?
Yeah, can we survive the scratch sheet?
Can you believe this? 3 weeks in a row, I picked a horse that is scratched out. I like in race number 4 today at Aqueduct, I like number 2, Proper Grammar, in this spot. 8-1 shot. in there against a couple, a big favorite and two redheads. But I think that Proper Grammar has a chance to run really well in that race. And I'm going to go with that for my last second Friday push, number two in race number four at Aqueduct today.
Very good. All right. James?
Yeah, I think she's and Steve, I wish you the best of luck this weekend, and safe travels heading back. Where are you going next week?
I'll be in California.
California. All right.
We got a huge weekend. Well, obviously, we got Arkansas, we got Florida, we got the UAE Derby. So we'll do some recapping of this and get the Kentucky Derby report going and everything else. All right.
Yes, sir. Hey, best of luck. Thanks, Steve.
James Scully, everybody. And I can't tell if James cleared anything up for me. We'll see. We'll see if we get some help, too, from KK and from Caitlin in a little bit. Marcus is not here yet. So I guess I've got to make kind of an executive decision. And head to. Oh, wait a minute. I think I may be hearing some Marcus down the hall, possibly. Here up at the, I tell you now, you would not have known, other than the big puddles everywhere, you would not have known we got as much rain as we did here, because right now it's actually looking like a pretty day, so Amos was right, the storm was going to come and go, and that'll make for a nice dry. Day tomorrow. It gives time for, doesn't look windy at all, so the wind might not help. While we wait, either for Marcus or for me to make the call, there's been, over the last several days, there has been a number of really sad passings. And started over the weekend, actually, with David Howard, just 45, heart attack in Maryland. And actually, Callie Francois had let me know. And, you know, Howard, actually, he won a race. Was it Saturday or Friday? And so, very tough. I mean, 45. Then there, Irv Woolsey as well. And, you know, on the heels of Toby Keith's passing, you know, country music, you know, longtime country music manager and breeder owner, and then the one that is just heartbreaking, because he made so many friends and had, you know, following and you know, people that were obviously rooting for him. George Allen Bryant, 42. And it was training, and you know, stricken with cancer, and fought valiantly. And I mean, just very unfair. What else can you say? So, won the admiration and support of just countless players and fans, and you know, that is one of the more, you know, powerful and positive aspects of the social media platform, right? Because so many people got to know him. So quite and you know, now I'm just realizing much like David Howard, he sent out a winner. Right on Sunday at Sam Houston. Really sad. So thoughts to all of these. It's really not been. Yeah, it's been a very sad year on this front. You know, obviously we talked about Bob Lothenback, but I mean, it seems on too regular a basis I've been, you know, passing along these, the Walter Blum. I mean, Walter obviously, you know, lived a big, full life, but still, that just tough. Let me reach for Rick, because I'm concerned that if we go too long, we're going to end up in trouble, because I've got Caitlin and KK, and they want to visit during this hour, and then I know the boys are coming here to their offices, Kevin and Joe Christofek. We got Steve Anderson coming too, so Marcus will turn up. I knew the weather. I had a feeling that the weather would impact Marcus's morning. Because, I mean, everybody was running for cover when I got here. So, all right. Let's get Rick in. And there he is. Hammer, good morning. Hammer.
Hello.
Hey.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yeah. I you having trouble hearing us?
No, I gotcha. I didn't have right button push, so good. Yeah, you caught me in out this morning. It seems like I just talked to you.
You did for four straight days.
For four straight days. I feel like I should be standing now when I'm talking to you.
Exactly.
That was a blast. I didn't know what to expect. Got schooled in a few ways there in Las Vegas on doing a couple of three long shows. I'm thinking to myself now, how is this going to do, like, play by play of a handicapping tournament? It was a blast talking to all the people and being in the room with, the emotions, up and down emotions of horses winning and losing, and just a great run. So I highly recommend if you're a contest player or non-contest player, shoot for the NFC. Try and get a seat there and really get three or four days of what the sport's all about, especially on the betting side. So thanks for the invite, and thanks to everyone who helped us out, Christina Blacker, and, of course, Rich Ng, who was there a lot of the time. And thanks to all the people we interviewed, all the gamblers and players, and just great. So, which was kind of wild. That was a long stay for me in Vegas. And then, you know, here comes the one of the biggest weeks and weekday ends in Vegas, and I'm leaving, meaning the end of the basketball tournament. That is a fun time to be in Las Vegas, but we're back home for that and busy with my own little contest I run every year on that. Keeps me busy. Anyway, we're back in L.A. and I hear about the rain and stuff. And boy, when it doesn't rain here in the wintertime, it's fantastic. So it's all good. It's all good.
Rick, any reaction? We're going to talk to Steve Anderson later in the hour. But what conversations have you had? What are your reactions?
I caught part of the meeting yesterday, not a lot of it, to get the whole deal. You know, a few phone calls here and there. You know, basically, the North, when we have to say the North, Northern California, you know, has a long history of racing. I think it's as long as the history here in Southern California. And they just, you know, said, hey, we'd like to keep racing in some form or fashion. And they were offered a chance to come up with a plan, and they did. They still have to follow through. And, you know, we'll take it from there. I didn't get a lot of the details. I know that they were looking to maybe divert some of the funds that normally go to the north down here to the south. And right now that, I guess, is not going to happen. And so just have to get together and make a plan. I'd be interested to see what Steve has to say about it. He's been, you know, obviously with being out of town for the last, you know, 3-4 days prior, not getting any background. I'm anxious to see what Steve has to say about it. And I'll be heading over to the track today and tomorrow, and I'll get a lot more, you know, upfront stories about how things are going. But I think at Santa Anita, it's, you know, we're still going to keep going. I know there was some letter that was written. I don't think Santa Anita is, you know, going to shut down anytime soon here because of this this deal. There'll just be a little readjustment. And like I said, we'll hear from Steve what Steve has to say. So it's never, you know, there's always something going on out here. So people are used to having to jump over another fence to get things done, and we'll work it out. They'll work it out.
Well, we'll I'm very anxious to see what else Steve. I mean, Steve's report is extensive for those that haven't had a chance to read it in DRF.
Yeah, and like I said, despite being on early, I didn't get a chance. I was going to make a few phone calls, but didn't get a chance to do that. But you're coming out here, right?
Yep. We'll be out for Tuesday morning.
You'll be Geraldo Rivera on the scene, so you'll be able to get to get all the deals. So when exactly are you coming? I think I sent you something last night.
Monday night. Monday, I get in Monday 8 o'clock.
Monday the 25th, okay. And I was scheduled to go to the Florida Derby this next weekend, and I'm now something came up, and I may end up being around here. So for the weekend, and so you're going to be here for a while. But so we'll I'm sure be doing a lot of talking over the next couple of weeks. So that's good. And then because you've been a road warrior here, so at least you'll be able to stay in one place for a week or so.
Yeah.
And lead up to the Santa Anita Derby. But this weekend, very interesting, right? At Fairgrounds and Turfway, it's starting to heat up a little bit.
Well, you got the 3-year-old front, obviously, with the boys and the girls, and the underpinnings are all strong. This is really after the little kind of quiet last week in terms of stakes action. It just takes off from here. So,
well, we roll along here. We got the two races this week, and then next week is Florida and Arkansas, right?
Well, and Dubai. You got to. There's going to be a lot of eyes on Forever Young, on the Japanese 3-year-old that has designs on Derby.
I just like to see him get in the gate. That's one of the early stabs I took at a nice price. So I'd like to see for old Forever Young just get him in the gate. That would be wonderful, and have a shot. And then of course the next week we bluegrass it with the Santa Anita Derby. So starting to heat up. It's been a little, I don't know, kind of quiet on the 3-year-old run. Haven't had horses really emerge as stars and right now that we're really, you know, following, but this will happen in the next 3 or 4 weeks, right? You know, it's just a combination of the horses not running as often to get there. And so we don't get a chance to see them and, you know, make opinions and find horses we like as much. But I think after this weekend, right, it's Louisiana has really become a hotbed of horses to send into Kentucky Derby Oaks and Kentucky Oaks and Derby over the last 4 or 5 years, without a doubt. So these two races, the Oaks Fairgrounds Oaks and the Twin Spires Louisiana Derby, keep an eye on them. And not just the winners, some of the horses that run in there. I think last year's, did Pretty Mischievous win the Oaks? I don't think she did.
Yeah, she did.
She came. Did she win the, I know she went to Kentucky Oaks, but I don't think, I'm talking about the Florida, the Fairgrounds Oaks. I don't know if she, and she came out of it, but I don't know if she won that race headed into there. But the filly seemed to have really taken, and this is a nice little rendition, as always. Tarifa's in there. This is the time Kenny McPhee comes alive. I like Vivi's Dream up there on the rail. Hoping it's not going to be sloppy, right? I looked at the weather. It looked like it was going to be okay.
No, it'll be fine.
Down there.
It's going to be fine.
It'll be fine. So, taking that into consideration, Vivi's Dream, I mean, if you go back a few, she dominated the Pocahontas and got beat a length in the Alcibiades. And then, I don't know if she didn't like the slop or what it was, but she ran decent races, but was distanced a little bit. I think, with Brian on there, you love that, and I think the odds are going to drift up. And if she can get back to that earlier form, I think she's going to be very tough in here at a very, very nice price, especially with Tarifa and Intricate in there. No slouches at all coming off the 1-2 finishes in the Rachel Alexander. But I like Vivi's Dream in there. I take long looks at Kenny McPeak where he is, especially this time of year, and he seems to be loaded this year. He's got horses everywhere. So he is good. I was in the other room when James was going, so I didn't hear his run up to the Derby, the Louisiana Derby. And there's some interesting things. When you're out here, we'll talk a little bit more at length. And one of the things that I wanted to talk about is if you look at the horses in the Fairgrounds Oaks and in the Louisiana Derby and in many of the other 3-year-old races as well. You see a lot of horses that broke their maiden, and then they go right into a stake. Many of them right into a graded stake. And I've done a lot of work on because of the graded stakes. What this does to, horses that have to do that, and they some of them do it because in their region they may not have an allowance race to take that next step. But when you break your maiden, you're forced to go into a stake. Sometimes it has some, I don't know, longevity issues, and we'll go into that a little bit more. But look how many horses here, when they break their maiden, they run into a stake. Now, some of that this time of year, with the males especially, they're trying to get them on that road early. Kentucky Derby, Kentucky Oaks Road, so they want to see what they have. So instead of taking the allowance route, they'll rush them into the stake and see what they had. And if they run okay, we'll try another one, and we'll try another one. But we'll go into that phenomenon a little bit more when you're out here and we have more time. But so let's go to the Fairgrounds, the Louisiana Derby. And there's a horse in here that decided to Catching Freedom. He broke his maiden Brad Cox decided to not to rush him into a stake, put him in allowance race at Churchill, let him kind of stretch his legs, get used to what it's like in the next step without having to maybe pound heads with a couple of good ones. Then he dips into the Smarty Jones, Catching Freedom does, wins, and then tries a Risen Star, which probably was the toughest of the preps maybe so far, and catches a slop, goes a mile and eighth the first time. And the smoothest of trips, nothing terrible, but made a nice run late. I like Pratt. I like the Pratt Cox combo. I think 4-1's an honest price for that horse. I'm looking at Catching Freedom to straighten things out and run a good one here. Honor Marie, he might be one of those horses that. He ran super in the Jockey Club, in the Kentucky Jockey Club, and then threw a little bit of a clinker, if you want to call it, in the Risen Star. So he might be one of those forgotten ones. All of a sudden, he's 8-1, and he might drift up. He could bounce back. He's got a good base to jump back to. I like Anna Marie a little bit, and of course, Track Phantom on the outside. They've always liked him. He's going to give up a little bit by being out there and having to do what he has to do anyway and go to the lead. And we'll test him for distance here. We'll see this little extra 16th. We'll see what it does for him. So I like him. And I'm going to give Real Men Violin one more shot. I liked him a little bit last time at a decent price. He's going to be higher this time. Once again, he didn't run well in the slop. Lannery gets on him. And so those are the four I'm looking at in a very contentious Louisiana Derby. And you need half a bottle of bourbon and a few hours to go over this Turfway card. It is just unbelievable, and you see why and when we were in Las Vegas, people were holding their selections that they had to use for late, and because they wanted to bet Turfway because they were looking at prices, and Turfway for the most of the time delivered, and maybe they'll deliver here. The Jeff Ruby from the Jim Beam, right, from the Jim Beam to the Jeff Ruby. Usually in these synthetic races, I look for horses that have run on the synthetic. Gee, what a concept, but this horse come from all over the place here that you kind of look a little deeper in. The Clement horse, Otello, was there's another one of my early picks. I think he's hit more head out for turf, especially when you see those last couple works at Payson on the turf. But as they say, turf horses like this stuff. He's 15-1. Otello from the Clement barn. The fact that he even entered him in here lends me to believe that they still have a little hope that he's going to be an all right colt. He ran the Macho Man. They gave him a little bit of a class try in the next one to see where he fit. And maybe dirt's not the way for him. He's won two races. He's going to be a price. I think this is Turfway. You're looking for prices, so I'm looking for a little bit of an upset there with Otello. The six horse might be the speed. I mean, there were days when this synthetic was new to everybody. Speed was not your friend. And the more and more you watched Turfway, if you've got a speed horse and you're on the lead, it's not a bad thing. And Northern Flame could do just that. So he is another horse that's going to be a little bit of a price. And then endlessly, Michael McCarthy, who's just done a wonderful job managing this horse. He won the Golden Gate El Camino Real over synthetic, which gave him a freebie into the Preakness. So if he wins this, not sure if they'll do Derby or Preakness or both. But those are the three that I landed on. Maybe a little Agate Road there for Todd, just because they know what they're doing there.
He's running here.
Oh yes, okay. I saw the FG there, so he is running there. So I give him a little bit of a shot even there. That's all I got. Unless there's anything else you wanted to talk about.
Well, just mention that you got the San Luis Rey.
San Luis Rey. Oh yeah. San Luis Rey. You could tell here we're starting to gear up for their big day on in 2 weeks, and saving some races for that day. So using some of the races that you wouldn't use on that day. So San Luis Rey. That's the part of the series that goes the long series, a mile and a half on the turf. Balladeer seems to be the only clear speed in here. He's done it before. I would think that George Papapodromo, Victor Espinosa, I think they could get loose, slow things down, and just take them all the way here. I really didn't even get past him.
All right, just a five horse field, and modest. You've got there's a maiden that's for older maidens. You've got maidens on the grass that close things out. 3-year-old fillies, and you got older fillies and mares as well. Allowance.
You have the coast to coast as well with Gulfstream, which has actually turned out to be a pretty big hit. The payoffs have been well, and the timing, hour and a half, 2 hours ish, so it's not a day long situation, and that's worked out real well. And get back on firm ground here, and we'll look forward to you coming in very soon. And we'll have a little fun.
Excellent. Hammer. I appreciate it. Thanks again for Vegas. That was huge. Everybody enjoyed. And I will see you Tuesday.
Sounds great. All right, see you at the races, everybody.
Let's take a bottom of the hour break. Exactly 90 minutes in, actually. And see about where Marcus is. But I think right now we'll turn. After we come back, we'll head out to Turfway and catch up with Caitlin and with KK. Steve Anderson with his report on yesterday's CHRP meeting. And then I'm going to guess that that's where we'll see Marcus at the top. I'm glad I saved a little window. That's where Marcus is going to have to pop in. Shockingly, it's now looking gorgeous here after a miserable storm. I'm almost, almost dry. if you'd seen me at 7:30, literally dripping wet. Kind of funny. All right. No reason to dawdle. Take the break here. Come back 90 minutes. Twins Fires weekend preview. We'll go to Florence, Kentucky. Catch up. Caitlin and KK. Back after this.
Sirius XM Radio. PA Bread, I think we've built a brand at this point.
The state of Pennsylvania has the best breeders program in the entire...